This is Bleed Tech Blue, the only all-LaTeX sports radio show. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue will bring you the best LaTeX coverage in the state of Louisiana. Here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. My co-host joining me, Jason Jones. He's on time this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I was early.
You did well, my friend. You did well. We're going to start off, Jason. I don't have my sponsors pulled up. We'll hit that next segment. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com, the Bleed Tech Blue inbox. Give us a call on a Rust and Tractor hotline, 888-993-7762. We're going to start with football. And, of course, there's a big men's basketball game Saturday in the TAC at 7 o'clock. We will be talking a lot of basketball, but we're going to start with football. Defensive coordinator David Gibbs, like I said at the end of Bayou Sportsline, had been on the job at Louisiana Tech as a defensive coordinator for, I don't know, 20 days, would you say, around that, Jason, probably? 20 days-ish.
Yeah, 3 weeks at the most.
And they've been searching for a defensive coordinator ever since. It seems a candidate has risen to the top and...
Yeah,
Scott Stoker out of Stephen F. Austin.
I mean, this is a guy I've been pushing for probably a couple of months. He FCS coordinated the year on Football Scoop back in 2011. Had a top 10 defense on the FCS level the last couple of years. Let's see, 2011, rush defense number one, scoring defense and turnover margin number two, total defense number three, pass efficiency defense number four. Hello, we need some of that. And these new computers.
Let's see. You rascals.
And then total defense this year, let's see, where are they?
He was a head coach at Northwestern State for a long time.
Yeah, they came down a little bit after the playoffs, apparently. Before the playoffs, they were top 10, top 15 in total defense. They're down to 27th now, giving up 333 yards a game. But the thing is, Louisiana Tech's had an offense the last couple of years where you're putting up points like crazy. The offense is scoring really fast, so the defense is on the field a lot of the time. And a lot of the blame for the defense the last couple of years could be looked, especially last year, you could kind of blame that on the offense. Well, Sam Houston State has been in the FCS championship game the last 2 years, and they have a tremendous offense. High power, scores a lot of points, puts up a lot of yards. So for Scott Stoker to have a great defense, opposite of that is something that Tech fans can look forward to. And then also, this guy coached at McNeese, who's the head coach at Northwestern State, for years at both places. So he's going to have ties to high school coaches.
In Central, Southwest Louisiana, South Central Louisiana.
Yeah, probably all over the state, but yeah, Especially those areas. And so that's a guy, you know, when Coach Holtz got the job, he said he wanted some guys with Texas ties and Louisiana ties. Well, obviously, you cover New Orleans with one hire. Well, now you're getting two-thirds of the rest of the state, basically, with Stoker. So that's a big-time hire, I believe.
And then, of course, Joe Sloan is recruiting the Baton Rouge area. Coons, I would imagine Jeff Coons will stick with the North Shore like he's been doing for the last few years. Stan Egan does a wonderful job in Shreveport, so he's going to probably stay in Shreveport. Tim Rattay has the northeast corner of the state from Ruston eastward. So they've got the state of Louisiana covered, and that's why that hire makes so much sense. Not only is a good defensive coordinator, but anytime you're talking about college football, you have to talk about recruiting and his ties to the central portion of the state, because that's his home, Alexandria. He's coached at – his dad was a longtime coach at Alexandria Senior High. He coached at Northwestern State. He coached it, like you said, at McNeese. So he's known around the state of Louisiana, especially in the area that Tech is missing in recruiting.
Yeah, and he's always been known for his defense. You know, 2010, they're ranked number 9 against the run. He was 43-38 in 7 seasons at Northwestern State as the head coach. So, obviously, Sam Houston State, they win when he's the defensive coordinator. He had a winning record as the head coach in this state for 7 years. I think that goes a long way. Born in Alexandria, his dad was the head coach at Alexandria High School, it says, for 4 decades. So, he's been from this area for a long time. Played at Northwestern State. And
getting a defensive coordinator coordinator that's used to coaching on the opposite side of a high-powered offense like Stephen F. Austin has is a positive. There's no doubt that with Coach Holtz's background, they're going to slow the ball down more. It's not going to be as wide open as it was with Tony Franklin and Sonny Dykes, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think they needed to do that a little bit more last year, maybe to give the defense some breathers and get them off the field. This is an exciting deal for me. I talked to a source this afternoon, and it's not a done deal. There's some that are saying that there's a contract now. From what I understand, that's not true. But this guy is very high on Coach Holtz's list, and will be considered and has been. They've been in talks for several days, I understand.
Yeah, and I've been hearing for at least a week that, you know, ever since obviously the last defense coordinator left, that he was probably going to wait till after signing day to get this done. So maybe this is a week early, but it might not be a done deal till the end of the week, and so then you're just days away. But
because after this weekend, they'll have another recruiting weekend. Then Monday and Tuesday. Monday is a dead day. They can't have any contact with them. Of course, Tuesday, a week from today, is signing day. So they'll have plenty of contact with them then. But that is – so Monday it may happen. That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's too late. You know, you announce it tomorrow, and it's really too late for him to make a big difference in recruiting. So that's not going to be
And honestly, don't hurt the school he's leaving.
Yeah.
Let him finish down his job. Let him recruit for them. I mean, it's a moral thing to do. An ethical thing to do, I should say. Not necessarily moral, but an ethical thing to do. Ethics in college football, some people think are waning, and there's an ethical thing to be done. Wow. And I think this may be a first for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. He calls into Bayou Sports Line an awful lot. D, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, guys. I enjoy listening to you.
Different D.
Quick question. Something you just said was interesting. Hiring a defensive coordinator that's used to coaching opposite a high-powered offense. Now, the question that was going to be, because when Croton was there, their scholarship focus was on offense. You know, and that's why we have a few good defensive players, but that's not the focus, so that's not where you're doing your hunting. With what you know about these guys, are we going to be trying to still find top-line defensive players?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to look at top-line defensive players. Just today, they landed a commitment from a former West Virginia signee and Terrell Pinson, a junior college safety, 6'3", 210-pound safety out of Itawamba Community College in Mississippi. A 5.6 Rivals rating, three-star player. Hakeem Gray out of North DeSoto High School, another three-star, 5.6 Rivals rating. Defensive end is in the commitment class. So, yeah, there's no doubt this staff will not neglect, for lack of a better term, the defense.
Well, and okay. I get your point, too, because, I mean, I was in school back in the Rattay years, and it seemed like they recruited more to the offense. Your best athletes were on offense. And even last year, I mean, you've got Sonny Dykes has five or six quarterbacks on the roster. It seems like 20 receivers and 15 offensive linemen. There was talk about moving their best signee from last year, Darius Barnes, even to receiver, which I thought was ludicrous. And so – when one coach is so offensive minded that he almost neglects the defense, yeah, it's obviously not good. You have to have a total team effort, and that's what Coach Holt said in his press conference. I'll go back to that. He said the best advice he got when he was a new head coach was he was talking about offense this and offense that, and somebody told him, look, you're the head coach of this whole team. You got to worry about defense, special teams, everything. And if you're out there worrying about nothing but offense and you're just letting the defense linger and linger and linger.
I mean, if you think back to Croton's days, Gomea Cooper was your starting middle linebacker. And I love Cooper, and he had a big heart, but he was like 5'10", 205, 215. You know, that's your starting middle linebacker, but that's what you could get. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, talk bad about Gomea Cooper because he played his heart out, but their focus was on offense.
Yeah,
so,
and
you got second line defensive players.
And even, you know, you had Otis Pitts at D tackle, who was maybe 5'11", 300. Damon Harrington played middle linebacker for 3 years there. You know, more like 6'1", 230. So you had a couple of bigger players up the middle, but, I mean, God, goodness, your ends were basically outside linebackers. Your outside linebackers were basically safeties. They were so undersized back then.
Absolutely.
It wasn't even funny. And a lot of times your second defensive tackle was a 260-pound guy. And, I mean, that's just not going to get it done in today's college football.
Right, especially when you know, I love watching the offense, man. I love it. But if every game you're just trying to outscore people 60-58, it's going to be tough.
You're right.
D, we really appreciate the phone call.
All right, man. Bye.
Get in the action just like D did on the Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Let's talk Tech football recruiting, Tech basketball. Though, like I said earlier, the Dogs are hot, 18-3 overall, 9 in a row, and this big road streak this past week at San Jose State got a victory by over 20. And at Utah State, one of the most hostile environments in college basketball, they came away with a W for the first time in 8 years. Ever. First time ever to beat the Aggies in Logan, Utah. We're going to take a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit football recruiting. Beginning at 6:30, we'll start giving away those basketball tickets. So stay tuned. We've got plenty to give away.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue is back on the radio.
Give us a call on a Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Send us an email, rustradio@bleedtechblue.com. I am Jay Ford, publisher of bleedtechblue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones, staff writer, recruiting analyst for bleedtechblue.com, joining me as my co-host like he has for many years. How many years have we been doing this now? Since 08? Is that right? 4 years?
Yeah, this is the fourth year.
That's pretty crazy. 4 years of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. That's kind of hard to believe.
You got the RPI pulled up yet?
I don't, but I can really quickly for basketball. We're not going to talk basketball yet. It's 6:30, Jason.
Oh, okay. I'm getting ready. I'm pumped up about basketball.
You're pumped up about basketball. Today, Jason, one of Tech's commitments, one of the most recent commitments, got upgraded to a 3-star on Rivals.com, Eddie Johnson. He's a wide receiver out of Navarro Junior College in Corsicana, Texas, 6'3", 200-pound receiver. I saw him whenever he was on his visit a couple weeks ago. That guy's impressive looking physically. He will plug into this offense and be a component right away.
Well, and I like that they're not just going out there and saying, okay, hey, we need a couple of linemen, a couple of receivers, a couple of linebackers. We're just going to go get, you know, the highest rated guy out there, you know, whoever's got the most stars or whatever. They went and found a guy in Eddie Johnson who's got a big body. He's not afraid to go over the middle. And then you turn around this week and you get a commitment from Kevin Gary, who is one of the nation's leaders in yards per catch and basically touchdowns per catch. I mean, he has like a touchdown almost every other time he catches the ball. He's a track guy. He's a speed guy. And so
6'1", 180 is what he's listed at.
So you have big receiver, not afraid to go over the middle. You got the fast receiver. You're filling holes, specific needs, specific roles that these guys can fill. And then talking about Pinson, he's more of a safety, could play outside linebacker maybe, depending on what scheme they're playing. And we're going to talk about that, you know, in weeks to come. Scott Stoker ran a lot of 4.25 at Sam Houston. That's what Tech's run the last 3 years. They were talking about going back to the 4.3. He did do some 4.3, so maybe there's going to be a little bit of flexibility there.
And something else you read during the break, Jason, about Stoker is that he rushed six a lot.
Yeah, and five to six.
And that's something that Coach Holt said in his introductory press conference. If it's not working, blitz.
Yeah, and everything I've been trying to figure out, you know, who they were looking at defensive coordinator and what kind of defense would be successful when your team does have an high-powered offense. And I've read a lot of stuff about how Charlie Strong does defense and Bob Davie, two of the better defensive coordinators over the last 20 years. And obviously Davie's been a broadcaster and a head coach as well. But they do a lot of stuff with the 3-5, the 4-2-5, a lot of odd lineups. But what they're trying to do is disguise things and bring extra guys and mix it up, but try to bring a guy when you're not expecting it from the blind side or up the gut, force them out of the pocket. Keep them on their toes. If you're dictating what, you know, if you're dictating from defense what the offense can do, you've won a big battle right there. If they're just lining up and running it down your throat or lining up and throwing it wherever they want, you've already lost half the battle.
Jason, something I've been thinking about the last couple of days I want to throw at you and see what your thoughts are. There's a lot of people on the Bleed Tech Blue message boards that aren't happy with the number of junior college signees or commitments and signees that Holtz is going after. And I think he's doing the right thing. I really do. He had a whole lot of holes at linebacker that he had to fill. Offensive line's got some holes. He's losing playmakers at wide receiver. He's got to fill with junior college players because he needs help immediately. And there's not very often are you going to find a high school player that can help immediately at any of those three positions, whether it's middle linebacker or whether it's linebacker, offensive line, or receiver. It's not often that a player goes from the high school ranks to the college ranks and makes an impact immediately. Do you think he's going about this the right way? Do you think he's got too many JC guys? What do you think?
I've got 2 points. Number one, he has to. He came in late in the game. You know, high school recruiting is about relationships. You know, and a lot of these guys are already committed up, and so you've got to go find the best players available. Number two, 2 years ago, the previous staff recruited offensive linemen, junior college guys, Oscar Johnson, Larry Bates, Jeremy Graffrey, receivers, Cathcart, Patton, White, linebackers, Chip Hester, Mitchell. So that was 2 years ago. Now a lot of these guys are leaving. You got the same holes to fill. So basically, it can be a cycle. Every 2 years, you're going to be filling those same holes. I remember talking about back when Croton was here and Big Nail. I remember like in 01 or 02, they signed – 5 or 6 or 7 JUCO offensive linemen. Maybe 2 or 3 of them ever got to play a lot. And it was just a third of the class. And then a year or two later, they signed 7 or 8 junior college defensive backs. And
what you're saying is if you're going to sign a junior college player, you need to sign a high school player to match him and just go back and forth. If basically a 1-for-1 ratio of per position.
And I don't think you have to do it that much if you sign, say, 4 linebackers because you're switching to the 4-3 and you need linebackers.
Pick up 2 high school.
Pick up a couple ones. What you want to do is pick up a couple more the next year. And that's one, you know, Coach Dooley, I think, brought a lot of smarts to recruiting when he came here. They don't just go out there and start recruiting every kid that comes across. You know, they had a plan with the way they went about recruiting the region and the state. He divided it up. He was thorough. And then he always said, and this is, I'm sure, something he learned from Saban, okay, you don't recruit a player that's you've got the you know 5 seniors coming up at offensive line. You're not going to try to recruit 5 offensive linemen to replace the 5 seniors you just lost. Look at your junior class. That way you get these guys in here. They have a redshirt year. So then when those seniors leave, you've got a guy that's been in your system for a year. And so is Tech at that point where they can do that right now? No, they lost 30 seniors. Like I said, he came in late. He's got to fill holes, get the best available guys, period. But in the future, my personal preference is sign 20, 21, 22 high school kids, 2, 3, 4, you know, at the most, junior college guys, fill a couple of major needs. But at some point, the cycle's got to break. You've got to sign the high school kids.
Let's say in this class, of course, I think he's got 7 committed now. I think that's close to right. He's got 9 committed right now. Do you think it would be okay for him to go over that?
Yeah, I mean,
he basically means he has to this class.
I think so, and you might redshirt a couple of them, but I think you've got to get the best available players no matter what. And this late in the game, the high school kids that are out there, there's a few good ones. They're obviously trying to get them. We've got three. We see three that
– three in the wings.
They're working on from New Orleans. Yep. They're high-impact players, and that's great. Get the best player. Doesn't matter. If they get 10, 11, 12 JC guys, it's not going to be the end of the world. But what I want to see is a commitment in the future, more high school. That's showing that you're wanting to build a program.
I tend to agree with you, because I think considering the circumstances and what he's left, what he's come into, I think Coach Holtz and his staff has done an outstanding job at this class. What year was it that Dykes came in to Tech? I was going to compare this one versus that one. Was it 09 that he came in, that he took the job between Derek Dooley and Sonny Dykes?
It would have been the
– Or 10.
He was here for three seasons, 10, 11, 12. So it would have been the signing class of 10.
He had 21 commitments or signees. And let's see how many three-stars there were. There was 2, 4, 6, 8. There was 9 three-stars. If you look at this year's class, he's sitting at 17 commitments with – He's at 6 three-stars. So they're right on target for the same caliber of class. Now you had some guys in that class that never made it on campus that were three-stars. When you look at Seth Ankar, never made it to campus. Antonio Burton never made it to campus. Kerry Fortson left the program. Noah Cheshire left the program. He wasn't a three-star. Noah Cheshire wasn't. Kerry Fortson was. He left the program. Justin Goodman, he was an impact player. Kendall Hayes is still on the roster. Kevin Kitzberth still on the roster. Carter Street still on the roster. And Ryan Williams was an impact player. So they got a couple that were impact, but a couple of them that never made it. And what's the point in signing a three-star athlete if he's not going to make it to campus? And there's two of those in that group. And when you take that into account, he's basically got just as good of a class now as Dykes signed in 2010.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to take a gamble. Like, I remember the Burton kid, you know, maybe he's going to get qualified. The coaches do a lot of research. The academic staff, they do a lot of research. They get the transcripts from another school. They talk to the teachers or the guidance counselor. They find out, are these kids going to qualify? What are the odds they qualify? And they take an educated guess. You know, there's a couple on
this.
That's
why people oversign.
Yeah, and I think maybe Hakeem Gray's borderline right now, I think I read. I don't know. So,
but he's expected to make it. But like, that's exactly what you're saying. You got to take a gamble.
You got to take a gamble because he's a talented kid. And so, you know, Ankar, very talented, thought he was going to get qualified, and he's still – I remember a year later wasn't sure why he wasn't qualified. So you want to get talented kids now. Do you want to go sign 20 of those kids and only 10 of them get qualified? No, you can't do that. But for one or two or three kids, you've got to gamble because you want to get high-impact players.
Ultimately, what I'm getting at in this whole tangent is Holtz is doing a good job in recruiting. And you can compare it evenly to, or even a little bit better. I would even venture to say it's a little bit better than Dykes' first class, because some of the two-star guys in that are committed, Jonathan Barnes, that's a kicker, honestly, that I think had he waited in the process, he would have picked up some offers. That's how good Jonathan Barnes is as a kicker. He's extremely accurate. He's going to be a good player for the Bulldogs.
And they just don't like to pass out stars to special teams players.
Correct. And Kevin Gary, like you're talking about, he has some BCS offers. He's got a Colorado offer. So he probably is a three-star. He's not. But
it won't matter. You know, Quentin Patton should have been a four-star. You know, it doesn't matter if they get on that field. And I remember in summer workouts and going into camp, you know, Miles White was the one that was really running past the defensive backs and looking like he was going to be the new go-to receiver. And then it didn't take long for Quentin Patton to say, hey, wait a minute, the general's in town. This is my spot.
And while we're on Quentin Patton, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about his performance at the Senior Bowl. Quentin garnered so much attention for his play during practice. He didn't get targeted but once during the game, which for him, it stinks. But he's already made the damage. The damage is done, quote-unquote. I don't mean damage in a bad way, but damage in a good way. He got the attention he needed from practice. The scouts saw him. He didn't necessarily have to show up in the game and do what he did in practice, because they know he's got the ability. He proved it day in and day out at Louisiana Tech. Proved it against very good competition. One of the best defensive backs most people say in the NFL draft this year is the defensive back from Mississippi State that said that Quentin was the best receiver he'd played against, including all the SEC competition. So he's going to get drafted. I don't think it'll be a first-round pick. Late second, third round, fourth round is where I expect him to get taken.
Oh yeah, I think mid to late second, you know, third round at the worst, because I mean, he just shows that he is a wide receiver. He's a football player. He's gonna go get the ball. And I think another guy, I don't know how many times I've seen practice where Jordan Mills got in a fight, and you know,
a lot.
And I remember at least two that turned into, you know, pretty big masses of
humanity.
Yeah. And you know, when these big 6'5", 300-pound plus guys, you know, start tangling, and then there's a big pileup of players, and they start making their way to the sideline, I'm getting out of the way. And Jordan Mills was always talking. He was always mixing it up. But he brought that fire and intensity to practice every day. So then they get out there to the Senior Bowl, and what does he do? The same thing. He got into it with LeVar Edwards from LSU. He got into it with a couple other players they mentioned. And he said he's bringing that intensity. And I think he got himself drafted by his performance. I mean,
And Oscar Johnson will get drafted as well.
And before, you know, Jordan was probably on the outside looking in of the draft.
He probably would have been a late pick, but now he's probably up to a fourth-round pick, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe fifth, but, you know, those are good spots to get picked in. You get decent money. Oscar gets picked up, and to be honest,
Ryan Allen's going to get picked up late.
Over the years, Louisiana Tech guys don't get drafted. You know, we saw Moats get drafted, saw Troy Edwards back in the day, Scobie, Luke, but.
And how often do you hear of four Louisiana Tech players going to the NFL Combine? Four.
Yeah.
So, Quentin Patton, Jordan Mills, Oscar Johnson, and Ryan Allen all going to the NFL Combine.
And we'll have to try to do some research. Maybe Patrick Walsh can help us look it up. Four people drafted in the same year? Is that a first for Tech?
It's possible. You could have five if Miles White gets drafted, which is not out of the realm of possibility. Let's take a break. Other side of the break, we're going to start talking basketball and start giving away these tickets to Louisiana Tech, UT Arlington, Saturday in the Tech at 7 o'clock. Don't miss that one. I am Jay Ford, and this...
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones joining me. Jason, 18-3, the Duncan Dogs. Send us an email, radio@BleedTechBlue.com. So give us a call, Rust and Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and, of course, Rust and Tractor. We're going to give away two tickets. The Bulldogs are 18-3. Could be 18-1. Lost two games that they probably should have won, but they didn't.
After they call in. I'd say make them answer it after they call.
Answer what?
We're going to make them answer a question and get the ticket.
Well, first one I'm going to give away on caller number three for the three Tech Bulldog losses. I'm not going to do caller 18 because we'd be here till the cows come home. And that's a good problem to have. So, caller number three, you win two tickets to Saturday's game, Louisiana Tech versus UT Arlington in the TAC. Bulldogs in sole possession of first place and have a two-game lead on both New Mexico State and Denver. Or is it just New Mexico State? Because they think they beat – I think it's just New Mexico. I think it's both. Never mind. Give us a call. Caller number three wins the tickets. Jason, that game Saturday, Saturday Utah State game, they were up 35-22 at the half.
Well, and Brandon Gibson was on fire. He had 17 points. What was it, 5 out of 6 for 3, something like that?
He hit his first five. He was 5 for 5.
And then he gets hurt. What was it, the beginning of the second half?
It was towards the end of the second half. He got a concussion. Took an elbow to the danger zone, almost a temple. He was out of practice today. They had the day off yesterday in practice. It'd be hard to believe. It'd be a pretty serious concussion for him to miss Saturday.
Yeah. The good thing is that position is the deepest on the team. You've got Cordarius Johnson, Jaron Johnson, and Chris Anderson, all basically the same size. So if you need to give him a couple weeks off, because that's the good thing, you only play one game this week on Saturday, and then you don't play again until next Thursday and Saturday against the South Texas Twins, so which are not great teams. So you'd like to have him this Saturday, but, you know.
He finished the game 6 for 8 from 3, 7 for 13 from the field for 20 points. He led the Bulldogs in scoring. And believe it or not, he and Raheem Appleby didn't start because they were late to the bus. So coach did not start them. They come off the bench and were Tech's leading scorers. Gibson with 20, Appleby with 10. That's the story for Tech all year, is the bench is bailing them out.
Yeah, the bench scores. So maybe they just need to have Keon and Raheem and Brandon come off the bench every game, and they'll just keep scoring, like, you know, 20 points apiece.
8,500 people at that game Saturday. That's a hostile environment. Well, we got a winner. Monty Hogg, West Monroe, is the winner of the tickets. Congrats, Monty. Enjoy the game Saturday with those two tickets. We got two more to give away in the next segment, in the next segment, in the next segment. Giving away 8 today. And we've got Rafe on line 1. We're going to give away another 2 tickets on Twitter later. Just so stay tuned to Twitter at Bleed Tech Blue. Rafe, how's it going on, my friend?
Going great, dude. Going great. Enjoying. This has been, I mean, you kind of sit back and think about it. I mean, at least the way that they've started, two of the most fulfilling and exciting seasons in football and basketball that I've ever had, really, as a Tech fan.
Yeah, I tweeted out earlier this week, Rafe, when was the last time Tech basketball or Tech football were receiving votes, just receiving votes, not even ranked in the top 25? I would venture to say that it's never happened.
It's definitely never happened, no doubt. It definitely never happened simultaneously. I mean, we've had one top 25 ranking in history in football, and I'm quite sure that was during the dirge of men's basketball at about that time. But so, anyway.
Yeah, we'd have to look up. It was 1998 that they had the ranking. They were ranked 25th going into that USC game. The football team was 8-2 and ranked 25th. Basketball in 1998, you had Lonnie Cooper there, and then you had just added, I believe, Gerard Henderson. And
they weren't ranked.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have been good, but they weren't ranked.
I don't know if they got – I know they weren't ranked. Obviously, I remember that.
Yeah, getting votes.
I wonder if they got any votes. Did they have a 20-win season back then? I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, I could look it up, but I doubt it. You know, the point is that what I'm a little nervous about is it's not – you know, margin of victory is overrated. But there's some teams at the top of the conference that are coming on, and really the big dog is New Mexico State, and they're, you know, they're not just beating people, they're trashing people, I read today that their 6'10" center has been cleared to practice, and he's just such a big guy, and on top of that 7'8". Half human person they have that's huge, and so just their sheer size is intimidating.
Well,
and
they haven't lost either since December 31st in Ruston, you know, and they've won, looks like, 7 in a row. And
I don't think they've been challenged.
Yeah.
I mean, not just haven't lost, but
well,
haven't.
They went to Seattle and got out of there by 1 point double overtime. But
I was wrong. I didn't know about that.
And at Idaho, they won by 1, but that's a tough road trip that Tech's going to have to take here in about a week or two. But, yeah, I mean, they beat Utah State by 13, San Jose State by 17, Denver by 11, who Denver's probably the other top team in the conference. So, yeah, they're beating some people up recently.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of beating people up, just a great segue, Tyrone Watson – their senior forward.
Yeah, the guy with the big head that looks like he has the helmet on.
The bald guy.
Yeah.
He is he's a suspect in a beating. Alleged assault of a guy that there's pictures online of the guy, and he is let's just say bruised.
I hope it's not somebody from the Tech Band of Pride, because they loved to get on Watson the last couple of years.
But it looks like the guy is not going to press charges. But this is par for the course for New Mexico State basketball. This is classic New Mexico State basketball.
Yeah,
they have a player like this.
They had a guy from this region. It's been a few years, but I remember he got arrested for is a suspect in the mall shoplifting deal.
And they have one that knocked off, I think there's one that knocked off a Domino's pizza. I mean, like I said, it's just par for the course for New Mexico State basketball.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully they're going to turn that around. We'll see, because they do have a Louisiana kid that's a freshman this year from Scotlandville. I don't know if anybody went to the state tournament games that were played at the TAC this last year. Scotlandville was unbelievable, and this guy was their best player. He's a freshman from New Mexico State. I think he's only playing like 10 or 12 minutes a game. But, you know, I'm sure he's a higher character guy. So hopefully they're starting to do that, not bringing in so many thugs from other parts of the country.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's been exciting.
Moving right along, right, Rafe?
Yeah, exactly. it's great. I mean, Mike has a great Coach White has a great rapport with the kids, and he's obviously great with the fans. And you know, it's one of those things where you always get a little bit nervous when you see such early and obvious success for our coaches, our young coaches, that some people are going to notice it. Usually it takes a little bit longer in basketball circles, a couple of tournaments before he's really noticed, because there's a lot of guys that have a bigger and better resume than he's put out thus far. But he sure has proven, you know, that it's not like he's had the highest rated classes and athletes on his team, but he's taken what he's got and done a lot with them. And they are good players. Not saying they're not. They're very good players.
He's building something special here in Ruston, and he's Tech's going to have to up the ante, is what I'm getting at. There's going to be – he's going to have suitors in the coming years because of his success at Louisiana Tech.
Well, and too, just like we were talking about in football, recruiting to a specific need, I mean, he goes and finds Michael Kaiser, who was committed to Lamar, and then they had a coaching change, so Kaiser was able to get back out on the market. He found a guy that can block shots, and he does other things well too, but he starts that fast break and really anchors that defense inside. And then you see the story coming out, I think, in the last week or two, maybe, how he heard about Speedy Smith, saw some film of him on YouTube or something. He had like a Stetson offer. That was it. And he goes and finds Speedy Smith playing in Tampa, Florida. I remember seeing the film on him. I was like, man, it doesn't look like he's doing anything that exciting, because I'm thinking, okay, where's the killer crossover and the jump shot? But
he's just fast.
He's just fast. And Coach White saw that. He saw how he could pressure the ball. And so he's recruiting these players that are fantastic at one or two things. And I'm not saying they're terrible at other things, but Kaiser's great at blocking shots. Speedy's great at pressuring the ball and passing. And obviously Raheem can score. And so they're putting that together, and it's just great to watch.
Yeah, it is. It's great. He picked up a couple of good, needed JUCO three players that forwards that had really kind of added to the mix, and I like it. I mean, it's I like the personality of the team. I think they're built to make a run, just because of they're diverse and that they can score. I don't know what the averages are across the board, but you know it whenever the bench outscores the starters, and it doesn't matter who starts. If you flip the starters, it's still the bench outscores them, and you got about six or whatever, four or five guys averaging about 7 points a game. That makes you a dangerous team, because
you got six players averaging 7 points or more per game.
I mean, that right there. I mean, I would like to see anybody else in the country that has, I don't know about this, but that has that many players that are that productive.
Well, Rafe, like always, appreciate the phone call.
All right, man. See y'all later. See Thanks. You again Saturday.
Thanks, bud. Rafe joining us on the Ruston Tractor Hotline here on ESPN 97.7. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back right after this and giving away another pair of tickets to Louisiana Tech versus UT Arlington Saturday in the TAC at 7 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call, Rusted Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. For this pair of tickets to Louisiana Tech, UT Arlington, the question is, what are they currently ranked in the AP and coaches polls? What is their ranking in the AP and the coaches poll? Call in with the answer. We got somebody willing to
give it a shot. Brian.
We got Brian that wants to give it a shot. The question, Brian, what is Tech ranked currently in the AP poll and also the coaches poll? If you get one of them, I'll give you the tickets.
We've received 8 votes in the AP poll and 2 in the coaches. That would put us at 33 in the AP.
Boom! You got it. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling on my way to play basketball over at Shreveport.
There you go. All right, Brian, hold on the line, and we will get you your info for the tickets.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. That was, he made that seem easy. I thought it was going to be a tough question.
There's Tech fans out there that bleed Tech blue. They know.
And now that I realize who Brian is, he would know.
Yeah.
You knew who it was, too. I wasn't thinking as soon as I said Brian. Congratulations, Brian. 2 tickets to Louisiana Tech versus UT Arlington inside the TAC Saturday. You know, UT Arlington's coach, Scott Cross, was just named to Forbes magazine's best college basketball coaches for the money. Of course, UT Arlington went to the NCAA tournament last year, ran through the Southland Conference with pretty much ease, pretty good ease, if that makes any sense. And it's going to be a tough game Saturday. I made it out to Arlington to watch the Dogs play UT Arlington. They're a team that defends you. They get in your face. They man defense the entire game. And they're going to try to keep you with a low scoring game and try to make sure that you don't outscore them. And that's really not what Tech likes. They want to run and gun, and doesn't play into Tech's hand very well at all. But they beat them on the road, which is not an easy thing to do. So they'll be looking for their second win against the Mavericks of UT Arlington Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a home game, but out of the 10 remaining games, I'd say it's in the top 5 in toughest games left, maybe the 5th toughest game left, because you've still got the road trip to Idaho and Seattle. Those teams aren't great teams, but they're hard to get to, and they're decent enough that if you don't play well, they can get you. And then, of course, we mentioned the last 2 games of the year, the 2 toughest, Denver and New Mexico State, both on the road. New Mexico State playing better, and Denver, I mean, from the beginning of the season, I think has been picked in the top 3 in the WAC ahead of Tech. Tech was picked 4th in both the media and in the coaches' polls going into the season. So the Bulldogs are definitely turning some heads.
They're the surprise team of the season. There's no doubt about that. The Bulldogs start Saturday with a 3-game homestand. UT Arlington, of course, Saturday. UT San Antonio next Thursday. And then next Saturday, Texas State. Our friends at MasseyRatings.com say the Bulldogs have a 82% chance of victory Saturday. I think that's a little high personally, because UT Arlington is not a bad basketball team. UTSA, a 94% chance of victory. Texas State, a 93% chance of victory. They could get to the 20-win mark in the next 3 games, and I think that's almost a given. In the next 3 games, they should hit the 20-win mark, which is – that's outstanding. Most seasons are based off of whether you get the 20 wins or not.
Yeah, and we were talking about a week or two ago, what's it going to take to get in a large spot if you don't win the conference tournament? Really, you need to be 24-25 wins. And back when we were talking about this probably 2 weeks ago, it was like, you know, can they do it? That Utah State game was looming large, and then Utah State lost 2 of their top players. Tech beat them. They've got 18 wins. You got 10 games left. I'm not going to say they're definitely going to get 28 wins. Well, and one of them is against Central Baptist. 1, 2.
It won't count towards their record.
It won't count. So they really got 9 games left. So can they get to 27 wins? Yeah. 26, 25 more likely. But, yeah, they're going to definitely, I think, get at least 24, 25. And keep that RPI up there in the 40s, they got a shot.
What it's going to take, and we said this actually a couple of weeks ago, and it hasn't changed. Win the conference regular season title and make it to the WAC championship game in the tournament and lose. That's about the only way they've got a chance of getting an at-large spot into the NCAA tournament. And if they do get the regular season championship and do lose in a tournament in an early game, which you got to talk about it, they'll be in the NIT, which is nothing to scoff at because the NIT is still a very good tournament. It's not like the CIT or the CBI.
Yeah,
but college basketball is almost as bad as college football now, where there's so many bowl games, they pretty much reward mediocrity.
Well, at least in these tournaments, you have to have a winning record. In football, a couple years from now, you win 5 games. Hey, close enough. If you're in a big conference, you can play in a bowl game. I mean, what was Georgia Tech this year?
5-7. So, and they finished 6-7.
Yeah, so I said a couple of years from now. Actually, this year, a 5-win team made it. I mean, come on.
If you look over the rankings, of course, Brian called in, told us that Tech was 33rd in the AP, which is correct. And the coaches poll, they're at 41st. On WarrenNolan.com, they're number 17 in NPI, the National Percentage Index. And the RPI, they are 42. And if their projected RPI, if the season were to end today, they would be number 41. With that RPI, they get into the tournament. Too bad that season doesn't end today. For the Bulldogs, they would like to be in the NCAA tournament. That is their ultimate goal every season.
Well, and it's been 20 years since the P.J. Brown teams that made it. So, and before that, I mean, you had a run from Malone in the early to mid-80s through Randy Davis? Randy White, I'm sorry, that played for the Mavericks. And then into the P.J. years and Bear Dade. I mean, out of those 10 years, they made several tournaments. And it was a disappointment to go to the NIT. And they even made the NIT Final Four 1 year. So
yeah, that was in 86.
Tech was Gonzaga before there was a Gonzaga. Tech was a great mid-major basketball program. And then starting in the early 90s, just fell off. Had a couple of bad years and then just turned into some mediocre years and just hadn't been able to get back over the hump. You've had a few decent years over the last 10. You know, Coach Richard had a couple of good teams. Coach Rupp had one good team. But this is the first time they've actually really had what you can consider a tournament caliber team.
If you look at UT Arlington, of course, their opponent for Saturday, their RPI is 160, projected RPI of 155, their NPI, the National Percentage Index, of 91. I don't understand why they're that low. This is not a bad basketball team. Maybe they have for the WAC, the strength of schedule is killing every team, and Tech included. Tech has the 188th toughest schedule in the country. UTA has the 200th, UTSA the 249th, and Texas State the 208th. So their strength of schedule is really pulling down those numbers because, of course, the RPI is generated by a computer and it's a formula. So the strength of schedule is taken into account, and that's really it's really hurting the Bulldogs and everybody in the WAC, honestly, because the Tech has the hardest schedule in the WAC. And it's at 188th.
Man, that's
this just proves what I've been saying for years, Jason, in football and in basketball, and the same holds true for baseball. Just win. It doesn't matter who you play, who you schedule. Just win. Who's on your schedule? Just beat who's on your schedule, and everything else will take care of itself. You can even call it the Boise model, because that's what Boise did. Whenever it made its runs to the BCS title, the BCS games.
Well, and back then, you know, they're playing a WAC schedule. They're playing two or three teams again. You know,
marginal BCS teams.
Well, no, they play one BCS team. They play Arkansas or they play Oregon State. They played Oregon State like 3 years out of 5. I mean, but they play one. Then they play a couple of the lower tier Mountain West teams. They just roll through those schedules. They may beat the BCS team, they may not, but they're going to go 11-1, 12-0 every year, and obviously, you got to win, and that's your point, win. But they had some pretty weak schedules, and it built them up to where they were recruiting better, and by 06, they're knocking off Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. So I think Tech figured that out. No more scheduling A&M, Miami, Auburn all in the same year. You're seeing, okay, we're going to go to Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Then this year we went and we saw them. They took, what, Illinois and Virginia. Then this coming year, North Carolina State and Kansas. You're not playing top 10 or top 15 programs anymore. You're playing those in the 45 to 60 range that are beatable, and Tech's beating them.
NC State, I still wish that would have been Dykes' job.
Oh, that'd be great.
You can't make a better storyline, but of course it's not. And then Kansas, they struggled mightily this year. You know, we talked about Tech signing a lot of JCs. Go look at how many JCs Kansas has signed this year, or has committed and signed this year. It's like 15 or 16. 15 or 16 junior college players in one class. You think they were... And that's going to be a hard team to scout next year. Who knows who's there? It's a completely different roster because of all those JC guys.
Yeah, but, you know, the same can be said for Tech. You know, new staff, lost 30 seniors, brought in at least 9 JC guys. So, but you can tell Tech's going to try to run the same offense. You can look at what coordinator was brought in.
Let's take a break. On this side of the break, more basketball talk. Give away another pair of tickets to Louisiana Tech, University of Texas Arlington. Basketball game, 7 o'clock Saturday in the Thomas Assembly Center. We'll be back right after this.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of Bleed Tech Blue and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call on a Rusted Tractor hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Jason, these last two tickets to give away, I'm putting the contest or the way they get the tickets all on you. I did the first two. The last two are on you. Are you ready for the first set of calls?
Oh yeah, and I don't want to give the question out until they get them on the phone line.
Sounds like a plan. Jason's ready whenever you are to win a pair of tickets to Louisiana Tech versus UT Arlington in the Tech Saturday at 7. Call us. He's got a question ready for you. Jason, if you look at CBSSports.com, has a mid-major power pyramid that they do weekly, and they put Tech in that list this week. It says Tech is the WAC's best, and is still a secret to the nation. In this power rating ranking poll, Tech is 10th, and they are in the cut below the top tier, which the top tier is Wichita State, Gonzaga, Creighton, and those are the top teams. And the cut below is New Mexico, UNLV, San Diego State, Memphis, Colorado State, Belmont, and Tech. They're in some good company.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Memphis has been the premier mid-major basketball program. There's nothing mid-major about that program, but they've been the premier one for years. And then you talk about teams from the Missouri Valley like Wichita and Creighton. I mean,
and Ohio Valley with Belmont.
Yeah, so great company there.
We got a victim, if you will, for the question. Kerry is on line one. Kerry, Jason's got a question for you. How are you, my friend?
All right. How about you, too?
Doing good.
Doing good. I want to know, name me one team that Tech basketball beat in their non-conference portion of their schedule.
One team. Oh, my. ULM.
That is correct.
There you are. Ding, ding, ding. Winner. So you won two tickets to Saturday's game. Thanks, Kerry. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, guys.
Hold on to the line, and Joe Dirt will get your information.
Thank you.
You bet.
68-52 on November 24th. So, yeah, I mean, I like the schedule they had, too, because I remember when Rupp had that year where they got out to a fast start, like 17-5 or whatever it was, 17-4, you're playing a lot of – SWAC schools and Texas Pan Americans, a lot of really bad RPI teams, and some of you are having to play on the road, and Coach White's been able, and I'll give Coach Rupp credit, they started playing some of the state teams home and away when he was here, but then you've got in the Arkansas Little Rock series, but they're beating some quality basketball programs. Southern Miss is one of the top mid-major teams this year, and ranked right up there with Tech on a lot of the polls.
Yeah, that victory is helping Tech's RPI a whole lot. And the more and more Northwestern State wins, it helps Tech's RPI because that's a quality loss, as they call it, down the stretch for when they start talking about the bubble teams.
Yeah, but you know, playing programs like Arkansas, Little Rock, Georgia State's about to be new to the Sun Belt. Troy's a Sun Belt team. Louisiana Monroe is. I think that's, you know, definitely helping the schedule. It's not a great non-conference RPI schedule, but it's better than it has been in previous years.
Jason, real fast, we can't share this because it's visual, but look at that photo. It's the Clifford guy for Utah State, and it is a photo of him. I'm gonna put it on Bleed Tech Blue and tweet it out, but it says, "I will eat your face," and it's a picture of him making an awesome face as he's defending somebody. He's
enthusiastically defending somebody.
It's pretty epic photo. So you just – it'll be on Twitter here shortly. But Tech is really playing well. That's an understatement. And I can't say enough how this team deserves a big crowd Saturday.
Oh, man. I mean, last two home games, pretty good. I want to see great. I want to see rows of people all around the blue seats. You know, when you fill up the red and you start getting every section with tons of people in them in the blue, you start getting over that 5,000 number, it's like louder than you cannot imagine.
The last two games in Attack have been loud, and we're talking 2,000 people in there. It seats 8.
Yeah, we need to get it over half full, no doubt.
Imagine that place with 8,000. I've never been in there with an 8,000. You have, Joe Dirt has. How loud are we talking?
Yeah, I mean, for a couple of the Tennessee Lady Tasters games back in the 90s, and the one I remember, 1996, the women's Olympic team was coming through right before the Atlanta Olympics. I was living in El Dorado. We saw the tickets were for sale. They had a little ad in the El Dorado paper. We called up, got tickets at the last minute, sat on the top row. I remember my brother had crutches, and he's trying to get up there, you know, 16 years old, trying to get up to the top row. And it was standing room only. It was unbelievable loud. And obviously they were there to see, you know, Shamiqua Holzclaw or Lisa Leslie, I believe. That was before Holzclaw was an Olympian, but it was Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie. But for the Tennessee games, I mean, there was a lot of passion in there. Tennessee always brought a lot of fans, you know, people yelling at the refs, me included. And that's back when they had the students on Bulldog Row, and we'd get after the referees, kind of like J4 did.
A few years later.
But it was a great environment.
We nearly got kicked out several games.
Oh, yeah.
Not some of my prouder moments, some of the things that came out of my mouth, but most people can attest to how loud of a human being I am. And you could be sitting at the lower section of the blue across the court from me, and you could hear me.
Oh, yeah. I remember the one game against Tennessee, they were just really working over the texters, and I was right there on the sideline. I was giving it to this ref, and he almost threw me out, but I found out his name. So the next big game that he was in town reffing, I had the whole student section chanting his name, and we were just giving it to him. Of course, it didn't change anything. He still called against Tech, but it seems like everybody always calls against Tech. I don't know why.
it is just that way. No one has an answer to it. Hopefully, Louisiana Tech fans, whenever Tech goes to Conference USA next year, that the officiating gets better. Because in football, it's bad, and in basketball, it's probably worse than it is in football. And for you folks that just follow Tech football, if it's hard to believe, just come out Saturday, watch Tech beat UTA, go to 19-3 on the year. One of the best Tech basketball teams in the history of the program. Don't miss out on watching them play. They don't have that many opportunities left to see the Bulldogs play at home. Jason, who would you say is the biggest surprise player of the year for Tech?
It's tough because I think we saw, we could tell early on, even though he's a freshman, I don't know. I mean, we could see Hamilton growing into that role. We talked about it before the season started that Hamilton could be a big-time player. But I would say he's the most improved because he went from never playing on this team to being one of the key guys. But I wouldn't say he's the biggest surprise because we saw it coming. We know what we're getting with Smith and Appleby and Keon. Brandon Gibson, you know what you're getting.
So you're not surprised is what you're getting at.
I can't think of anybody. I tell you what, I was surprised, you know, with J.L. Lewis's game the other night.
That would probably be the most surprising for me is J.L. Lewis. He's not – what he does for this basketball team doesn't show up in a stat sheet, and Coach White says that every single game. But he's the best communicator on defense. He gets down the court quick and starts directing traffic because, of course, everybody doesn't know when a screen's coming, and he's down in the low block, and he can see all that stuff developing, and he's calling it out. He's probably the unsung hero of this basketball team.
Well, and I think, and in somewhat of a surprise, I mean, Speedy Smith, everybody knew he's a good player, but just the level he's taken his game, we saw him last year defending and distributing, but now he's hitting three-point shots, and really he's just taking his game to another level. I think that's somewhat of a surprise is how good he's been.
And, you know, to take what you were saying about Alex Hamilton to a different level, Alex Hamilton is I think he's kind of a mix between Speedy Smith and Raheem Appleby. He's a point guard who looks to score, and Speedy is not a point guard that looks to score, but he handles the ball like Speedy does, but he looks to score like Raheem does. If there's a guy on the roster that's going to play in the NBA, that's him. He's a freshman, folks. A freshman. Don't miss seeing this kid play.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about it on Bleed Tape Blue online that, you know, you're not going to see them, those three players on the court at the same time. They're too small, but you've also only got four guards, so if you start playing them at three positions, you're going to be pretty thin. You've got so many good 6'5", 6'6", forwards. You want to play two of them as well. But next year when Dominic Jackson comes in at 6'3", and he's as athletic as he is, and you don't lose any of the other four guys, you've got five really athletic.
They're going to probably redshirt him. Where does he play?
That's what I'm saying. If he doesn't redshirt, and if he's as good as advertised and as athletic as advertised, I think you'll see some lineups with three of those guys in there because you do lose Brandon and you lose JL, so you're going to be a little bit smaller of a team.
Now, I think Leo Edwards plays.
It depends on how raw he is. If he's ready to play, yeah, they're going to need a size in there, but if not, you're going to see a smaller lineup at times where they're just going to run.
Leo Edwards is playing on a team right now with two high major guards. One for sure that I know that's going to Missouri. So he doesn't get the opportunity to they're not running the offense through him. He's collecting the garbage down on the low block off of rebounds.
Well, and he's going to come do what? He's going to do exactly what Kaiser does. He's going to rebound, block shots, help on screens, and
be a force in the inside.
Yeah, and so and get some putbacks. But that's, I mean, Coach White recruits these guys to his team. He finds the best fit. If he has to go to Florida or Michigan, he's going to go find them.
We're going to take a break. Other side of the break, the final segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio for tonight. Jason is going to give away, ask a question to give away, two more tickets to Louisiana Tech versus UT Arlington Saturday in the TAC at 7 o'clock. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio. '80s rock education going on here in the studio for me, a child of born in 1984, aging myself. I don't know this stuff, guys. I was a wee tot in during the 80s. You're right here with all this stuff, aren't you, Jason?
Oh, yeah. So from 85 to probably 88, you were in grade – I mean, not even in grade school. You were in
– diapers.
Diapers.
All the way to 88. I was slow. I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Man, okay.
Send us an email, radiobleedtechblue.com. Give us a call, Rust and Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. We're going to get out of here a little early tonight. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rust and Tractor. One more pair of tickets to give away. Jason, you ready for that question well?
I've got it up. I'm ready.
He's ready for your question. He's ready for you. He's going to ask you a question. You answer it. You get a pair of tickets to Louisiana Tech versus UT Arlington Saturday in the TAC at 7 o'clock. We got another two tickets that we'll be giving away on Twitter later in the week to promote the game. Jason, let's switch gears to a little football recruiting to close out the show over the last few minutes before we get the call.
Well, and we mentioned the three kids from New Orleans.
That's where I was going.
Henderson, the speedster, and then the two linebackers, Williams and Clark. Clark, possibly a defensive end, depending on how big he gets. But he's fast, he's athletic, and what a way to close out the class. If they can start getting some of these kids here in the last week, that's a really good way to finish it off and tie a bow on it.
Edward Williams announced a leader today, or last night, that he visited Texas Tech this past weekend. He's got them as his leader, but Tech is in his top group. He did not commit to Texas Tech on his visit. I still like Tech's chances with Williams. So he's still out there. Carlos Henderson, the other guy you were talking about, he's down to what I expect it to be, either ULL or Louisiana Tech. Tech will do an in-home visit with him this week. Commitment could come during the in-home visit. That wouldn't surprise me. Lynn Clark, the other guy you were talking about, scheduled to go to Louisville this week. I don't think he signs with Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, Louisville's really far away. Texas Tech's pretty far away from New Orleans. And I just think, you know, with Coach Jaluk's relationship that he's already been able to establish, I think Tech's got a great shot at all of them. Naming Texas Tech your leader this late in the game, I don't think that's a big deal. Kids change their mind every day. What are they going to feel most comfortable with when they've got to fax that paper in?
And he had very positive things to say about Coach Jaluk. And, of course, that's to be expected because Coach Jaluk, he may know everybody in New Orleans.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he and Frank Wilson at LSU, between the two of them, there's not a player in that city they don't know.
Yeah, the joke is Frank Wilson's related to every recruit that comes out of the city. And so, you know, if Coach
they all say they're cousins.
If Coach Jaluk can figure out how to kind of get that same kind of rapport going with the recruits down there, hey, you know, I've known you forever, and they feel comfortable with him, hey, it's going to work. And you got to roll with what works.
Jason, I wonder if we lost all of our listeners. We got another pair of tickets to give away, folks.
I promise the question won't be that hard. You'll have a 3 in 32 chance of getting it right.
3 in 32 chance? It's not very good.
Yeah, but it's easy. I promise.
You're going to give them a good hint if they can't get it?
Oh, yeah.
Give us a call. 888-993-7762. Win a pair of tickets to Louisiana Tech versus UT Arlington Saturday at 7 o'clock. Let's run through the commitments real fast in the waning minutes of the show. Mitchell Bell, three-star offensive lineman out of Navarro Junior College. D'Angelo Brooks, two-star defensive tackle out of Kilgore Junior College. Tony Johnson, Southwest Mississippi Community College linebacker, two-star. Nick Thomason, linebacker out of Northeast Mississippi Community College. Lots of JC guys in this class. Mitchell Villamez, linebacker out of Blinn Community College. Jonathan Barnes, kicker out of Woodlawn High School in Baton Rouge. Nick Bickham out of St. Amal High School in Baton Rouge. Trey Carter, Georgia Military College in Milledgeville, Georgia, a wide receiver, speedster. Hakeem Gray, defensive end out of North DeSoto High School in Stonewall. That's the Shreveport area. Michael Jacob out of Allen High School in Allen, Texas, the place that has the $200 million stadium. I think
Yeah, it's Allen.
It's a crazy, crazy fancy stadium. Eddie Johnson, three-star receiver out of Navarro Junior College. Cam Manning, Carroll, Southlake Carroll High School. Liddell Marshall, O.D. Wyatt. Terrell Pinson out of Itawamba Community College. And Trent Taylor out of Evangel Christian. We've got somebody ready for the question. What's your name?
Jeff. No, Jeff. It's Rafe again, man.
Oh, it's Rafe. You're going to win another, or you're going to win a set of tickets.
I didn't win any the first time.
That's right.
Okay. This one for the callers to know, I didn't win any.
Since Rafe is a veteran Tech fan, I think I should make it harder, but it's too late. I've already got a question ready. Okay, Rafe, name one team that the new receivers coach at Louisiana Tech, Tim Rattay, name one team in the NFL that he played for.
I'll go with the 49ers.
You got it.
That was a real tough one, wasn't it?
That one hurt me.
I told you it was easier. I feel like I should have made it harder, but it was too late.
Well, how many teams did he play for total, two?
He played for the Niners, Bucks, and Cardinals. He would spend a little time with the Titans, but never play.
Okay.
I didn't know the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah. Me either.
You're not. Are you? You could have asked the four teams. That would have been a really good question.
I would have missed it.
Oh yeah, that would have been really hard.
Yeah. Rafe, appreciate it like always. Stay on the line. We'll get your information.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, bud. All right. Well, let's let Joe Dirt finish up on the line with Rafe, and we're gonna end this thing here very shortly. Louisiana Tech will look to close out the signing class here in the next week. Last recruiting weekend is Saturday and Sunday. So signing day, a week from today, we'll have a signing day special here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll run through the recruits, try to have some of them on as guests to talk about Louisiana Tech and their signing with the Bulldogs. Hopefully have Coach Holtz on to go through the class and just talk about recruiting for the end. That'll be the majority of the show next week. I'm sure we'll talk some basketball. Louisiana Tech should be, for all the Tech fans, hoping that they'll be 19-3 next week, still undefeated in conference play inside the WAC. So stay tuned till for next week for the signing day special here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. For Joe Dirt and Jason Jones, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We'll be back same time next week.